The question today is, what keeps you from quitting the ministry? As I've said, and this is part five, by the way, but I've said before, there are temptations to quit, but temptation is not sin. They're just fiery darts of the devil trying to lead us astray. And by the grace of God, I don't want to quit the ministry. And I use the scripture in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. He said, where there's no vision, the people perish. We use the word perish as we thought about that word perish. It talks about, in other words, coming to a place to where you let loose, to let go, throwing in the towel and quit. If we don't get sight of some things, we're going to throw in the towel and quit. But folks have seen something. I've seen the Savior. And I talked to you about that. And of course, it's seeing by faith through the scripture. I've not seen him in a literal person, but I see his journey, how he traveled further than anybody, robed himself in flesh and came down to this earth. I see his job, how he came to live a sinless life and went to the cross of Calvary to pay our sin debt and sprinkle his blood yonder and seated at the right hand of the Father. I see his joy, how the joy is out and is set before him. It's not the joy of the cross, but his joy is that he'll have us to present back to his Father one day, the saints of God, all because of what he's done. And so therefore I see that. It says I can't quit by the grace of God. I also see the saints, and I think about the saints. I think about those that's gone on home before us, and I have a responsibility to them to keep on. They said, follow me as I follow Christ, what Paul said. There's a great number listed in Hebrews chapter 11, but we've got to keep on going. I keep on by the grace of God going, and it's only His grace that enables us to, and He's got to do it. But I see the helpful ones, those that encourage us. Then I see the ones that's hurting, and that, in other words, the ones that's really hungry ones, wanting something to eat from the Word of God, and cause me want to study. When I see the saints, it says I must, by the grace of God, keep on going. When I see the sinner, and I think about the eternality of the soul, that soul is going to live for somewhere in eternal consciousness, heaven or hell. It makes me say I need to keep on keeping on. I'm in debt. I see also the essentiality of salvation and knowing the devil's a deceiver. He leads people astray. He uses other people to deceive you, to blind you, to harden your heart, to keep the seed from finding lodging and so forth. Do everything he can to keep you led astray. But may the God help us to keep on going and proclaiming the truth. And then I see not only the essentiality of salvation, but the equality of salvation. We're dead to the red, yellow, black, and white, the ground's level around the cross. So it matters not which side the tracks you're on, how bad you are, how good you are, as far as the devil trying to get you to that place. We need to preach the gospel so that you might be saved. And so therefore, by the grace of God, I need to keep on going. I also said when we see Satan, knowing he's a liar, he'll lie to you about sin, he'll lie to you about self, he'll lie to you about salvation. And I want to declare truth to you where that you'll recognize the fact that Satan's a liar. He's worse than a rattlesnake, and I need to warn you about him. So therefore, by the grace of God, I need to keep on going. I'd like to deal with another thing I've seen in the Scripture, if you please. And when I see the seat we have to face, I'm talking about the saints of God. I'll tell you, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now that all here is talking about the saints of God. And the reason we're going to appear there is that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. This has nothing to do with salvation. Salvation comes at a point, time, and a place where the Holy Spirit's done a work in your heart, brought you to the end of yourself, convinced you of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and imparted to you repentance and faith so that you could obey the gospel by repenting and believing. But here at the judgment seat, the saints are going to stand. We know that's the saints because verse 1 of chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians said, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in heaven. Folks, that's not for the sinner, if you please. It's for the saints of God. And so when I see the seat we'll have to face, and I know it'll be a day of rejoicing. We'll see those who've gone on before us, the loved ones, in other words, that will be there, that's saved by the grace of God. And you say, well, you know them? Well, I don't know exactly all about it. Peter recognized Elijah and Moses on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17. And the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 13:12, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. So you see, we'll have more knowledge then than we have now. And if we know them now, we'll know them then. Don't understand all about it, but I see them. It'll be a day of rejoicing. It'll also be a day when we'll not see only our loved ones, but we'll see those who our lives touch. directly or indirectly. Those from foreign soil, we never maybe laid eyes upon physically. You prayed for them, yeah, and you sent missionaries there. They preached to them. They got saved, and they never saw you, but you gave that others might go. They'll come up and say thank you. Say thank you. Most of all, we'll see Jesus there. You see, it'd be a day of rejoicing. He's the one who died for me. Be like the blind man who was made operated on, and the man, they asked him, they said, who do you want to see first? You want to see your mother, your dad, those around you? No, he said, I want to see the doctor who made me see. I'll tell you, we'll want to see Jesus. He's the reason for it all, and it'll be a day of rejoicing. It'll also be a day of rewarding. Now, the Bible speaks about that in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 11, when it talks about a foundation to build upon. Now, if any man, verse 12 says, if any man build upon this foundation, he's talking to the saints here, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. Simply means judgments, all that fire means. And the fire of judgment shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man's work abide, which he's built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Gold, precious stone, and silver will stand the fire test, and it will abide. But the wood, hay, and stubble will be burned. And it says, though, in the verse 15 says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So you see, this is going to be a day of rewarding. And 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 6 through 8, Paul said this, for I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. In other words, at that day, the crowns will be passed out. Now, there's various crowns. I'll not go into that. They'll be passed out. And 2 John, verse number 8, warns us something here. As he says there, in other words, he speaks to us not to lose that we've wrought. In other words, to continue. Don't lose that you've wrought. 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul said this, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now, that doesn't mean you'll be lost after he's saved, because that's the impossibility, but it means that he'll be disqualified for reward at the judgment seat of Christ. And Galatians 6:9 said, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And so may the Lord help us to keep on. That goes back to what we're talking about here. See, in the judgment seat, where we'll have wood, hay, and stubble be burned. But if we have gold, precious stone, and silver, that'll stand the fire test, and great will be our reward. And of course, it's a day of not only rejoicing, a day of rewarding, but that day is going to be a day of reckoning. I mean, in other words, we're going to have to give an account what we've done. In other words, we're going to have to give an account of those things. You realize the parable of the talents is the best thing to describe it. In one way, there was one five, and one given two, and one given one. One had five and increased five. That made them ten. When the man come back, he required an accounting, a day of reckoning. Well, he said, I've got ten. I put it to work, and it's increased. And he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The one who had two increased two. He doubled his. And you see, the quality of the fruit out of the good ground, some 100, some 60, some 30. You see, Jesus made the same, will make the same statement to the one who has 10 now. It was given five, and he increased five. As the one who has two, and increased two more to four, he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So therefore, you see, he only requires you to be faithful with what he's given you. Had the one increased his one, then the Lord would have said, well done to him. But he didn't do that, and so he'll be cast aside. Some people think that's talking about a man being cast into outer darkness, but I believe it's being talked about being suffering lost at the judgment seat. And I have to admit to you, I don't know all about that, what that means, but it's going to be a day of reckoning. See, sometimes we'll come along, and by the way, the Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. In other words, he said, and that's right after he talks about we're going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. He called the judgment seat of Christ the terror of the Lord. That word terror means that which causes intense fear. Now, like I say, I don't know all this involved, But, you know, we sometimes, we tell our children, we say, well, you did a good job. And all the time, you know that they didn't do a good job, in other words. But you're just trying to encourage them to do more. Listen, the Lord won't lie. If you did a good job, He'll say, well done. But if you need reprimanding, He'll reprimand you at the judgment seat of Christ. He'll do that. And so, therefore, that's the day of reckoning. Now, I don't know exactly how to describe it, but I remember a preacher back years ago telling a best description of the judgment seat that I could carry on to you would be this. And this was when this preacher had five children at that time, and that was back in the day whenever the things wasn't too... there wasn't much money going around, so they went to the five and dime store, and they went and he gave them $1 apiece to buy. He just more or less said, "Mama's birthday's tomorrow. We're gonna bake a birthday cake for her, and want you to get something." And didn't really stress it fully, but he said, "Just get something." And thinking that they was all gonna get something for Mama's birthday with that dollar. Well, they went off and began to buy something and come back. He had two twins and a 5-year old, a boy and a girl. And so here come the oldest child back, and they had bought something for Mama and had it wrapped up. And the second came back with something for Mama, something to present. And the third, and the boy came back with from the twins, came back with something he'd bought for Mama. But here comes the little 5-year-old girl just enjoying herself to the fullest. She had bought $1 worth of penny candy. And she was popping that candy right and left. And the others immediately said, "Daddy, make her give us some of that." Well, you see, they knew she wouldn't do it. And Dad said, "No, she bought with her money what she wanted to buy. And so as a result, leave her alone." Well, she would look at them all that night as she ate the candy and laugh at them as if to say, "You fools, you spent yours on Mama. You could have spent it on candy and had what I had." And that's what a lot of people, and probably, they probably even thought to themselves, "I wished I'd have bought some candy." But the next day, Mama's birthday comes up. They bake the cake, and surprise, surprise. And yet they come up with the present. The oldest stepped out in a second and so forth. And every time she said, "Oh, it's just what I wanted." And that was Mama telling her, you understand, telling the children. And then come time for the fifth one to step up with a present. And then all of those who had the present were glad that they spent it on Mama. Because it's a day of reckoning, see. But the little girl was heard crying, the pitilessest cry, over in behind some piece of furniture somewhere hiding because she didn't have anything to present to Mama. Folks, there will be some weeping at the judgment seat because the judgment seat is not a Sunday school picnic, if you please. It's called the terror of the Lord. But if we see that seat that we're going to have to stand before and give an account, we'll say, by the grace of God, I don't want to quit. But I want to persuade men. I want to convince them. I want to induce them. I want to urge them to keep on seeking the Lord and keep on keeping on for God's glory. May God help us by the grace of God not to quit. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.